Good evening, everyone. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 5. So we will be concluding this series tonight with verses 8 to 12. Psalm chapter 5, verses 8 to 12. Please follow as I read. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him, as with a shield. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for tonight. Please be with us, Lord. Open our hearts and help us to commit to you our daily lives, especially in the morning. We pray that you will be with us, be in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so far we've talked about verses 1 to verse 7. So we've seen the importance of taking our meditations to God. We have talked about some characters in the Bible, heroes of faith, as you may call them, Hannah, Job. Talked about Elijah and David, of course. Verse 3, we talked about making God our priority, having fellowship with him first thing in the morning. That's really the center of the series. And we talked verse 4 about 4, 5, 6 about our dependence on God and his holiness, his righteousness, his kindness, and his majesty as our king. We talked about verse number 7, how we can only continue because of the mercy that God has for us. And our response to that mercy should always be worship, as said there in verse number 7. Now, verse number 8 is, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. It is still a prayer to God from David. So number one is, when overwhelmed by fear and uncertainty, we look to God for leading, for direction. Often what causes us to lose track, to backslide, is sin, the disregard for God's commandment, or unbelief. So if we go to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sometimes we think of sin as something that we do, the evil that we do. But unbelief or lack of faith, it is sin. And oftentimes we are sidetracked because of that certain sin. So expect that if we ask God for directions, he will be leading us to the path of righteousness. We cannot ask God to help us, to save us, and continue living in sin. We have to expect that if we ask God for help, for assistance, for rescue, then our path will be his righteousness, according to his righteousness. Psalm chapter 71, verse 2 says, deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. It's always towards God's righteousness. As we spend the first moments of our day with the Lord, we have to ask God to, just like what David said, say David asked, to show him to make your way straight or clear to me. And this is a prayer that God delights in. If we every morning ask God to align our words, our thoughts, our actions, our decisions to his will, don't you think God will grant such prayer? He will, of course. Very soon, our words, even the way we react, the news or to whatever, even our so-called micro expressions, you know, the twitching of the muscles in the face, all those things, because people take offense on as little things as those, you know, those turn tamed, controlled. That's because we trust God. Verse number 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Remember that David right here is anxious, is fearful, because he's being attacked. Now, verse number 9 says, there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. David is aware of the evil that is in the world. And we should be too. Not just because we fellowship with God early in the morning. It doesn't mean our days will be as smooth as butter. It doesn't work like that. It will be rough. But because of the presence of God, you have a new perspective. Everything seems to be, there's always a solution to something. And even our attitudes towards problems and challenges, they change. And this is just an awareness. Verse 9 is telling us that it is true. It is real. And you cannot go on expecting that, Lord, I spent the first moments of the day with you. What is this? Instead, you have a new perspective with God. Because you have his presence. Remember Elijah last Sunday. Not last Sunday, when on Elijah's time. We talked about two Rab, right? Prior to his prayer, prior to his encounter, divine encounter, he described his situation as Rab, or too heavy. And after, what did the angel of the Lord say? Rest, because your journey is Rab, the same. It's the same situation. What changed is the presence of God. And we are guaranteed that. Just like what David is saying. Psalm 23, verse 4. You know this. I don't, so I'm going to read. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You will still walk through the valley of shadow of death. There will still be challenges. There will still be troubles. But the Lord is with us. That's the guarantee. Verse number 10. It won't stay long. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fail. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Now, what do we get from this verse? Should we, if we have an enemy, should we ask that the Lord destroy them too? I don't see it that way. Instead, we look at this as, if you have somebody who's constantly offending you at work, at school, anywhere, even at church, I hope not, but even everywhere, take it to God. Right? You all know Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Take it to God like David did. If God grants you wisdom on how to handle it directly, or God touches the heart of that person that's annoying you or offending you, or God changes the situation entirely, it's up to God. If he gives you wisdom on how to handle it yourself, then he will. Only that, we have to take it to him. Right? Because a verse in the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof is the ways of death. So don't be proud. Just because you've handled this multiple times already in the past, just take it to God, because we are dependent on God. That's who we are as Christians. Especially when you're full of emotions, whether you're happy or you're very angry, confide with the Lord first before making any actions or decisions. So verse 9 and 10 shows us that David is aware of the troubles, the past, the historical troubles, the present trouble which he is in during this time, and what can happen in the future. So that's why he's asking, Lord, things are about to happen. In his words here, you take care of it. Please take care of it. Now, verses 11 and 12. Almost done. Verses 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. The title of our message, by the way, is Thou Defendest Them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now, if you read this, my last point for tonight is joy, defense, and favor. Joy, defense, and favor. Verse number 11 said, those that trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Now, when we take our fears and worries to God, he takes charge of the battle for us. Consider Jehoshaphat. Let's go there. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but but we will see here that the situation is quite similar. Jehoshaphat is being attacked. He realized now that the Moabites, the Ammonites, and a lot more, as said in verse 1, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. He was deeply troubled. He worried because this company is too big for them. They were being attacked by those people. He came to God and looked for God's presence and looked for God's answers. And how did God respond? Verse number 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours." It's God's. It's always been God. It's always been God's. If you are a Christian, every battle that you face is God's battle. As long as you are on God's side, you're doing it for God. Verse number 17, the same chapter. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Imagine that. You don't need to fight. Set yourselves, stand ye still. You still have to be there. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, joy, defense, and favor. Let's look at verse number 27. I'll let the Bible explain it through the verses. Verse number 27, what happened? Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. We can experience this too. Defense, verse number 17. Let's go back. Verse number 17, we read this before. Verse number 17 says, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. The Lord is there to defend you. Whatever it is, take it to God. Let him fight the battle for you, because he will defend you." And lastly, favor, verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. That's favor. That's every king's dream, probably. Never been king. But I would think that if you are a king, the first priority would be have your people safe. And this is the favor of God. But what did Jehoshaphat do? He just looked to God. He just considered God. He just went to God and took everything to God. He was fearful. He was anxious, just like David was. When we take the essence of Psalm chapter 5, we get to enjoy the benefits of these words, joy, protection, and favor. These are not just concepts. These are not just mere words. These are, we too can experience the reality of this word, of these words. To conclude, it will take a lot of practice. It will take a lot of practice to establish a habit of spending time with God in prayer and personal devotion every morning, like first thing in the morning. The enemy knows, Satan knows that it's a powerful thing. And he also knows that it's easy for Christians to neglect such practice. This, my friends, this is a daily battle, like literally, daily battle. We are instructed in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So if it's difficult to rise up in the morning and spend the first moments with God, it is. It should be difficult. But deny yourself and take up your cross daily to follow God. It will take discipline and endurance. And only people who run or jog or do any endurance sport, you know, any kind of endurance sport, really understand what endurance means, that word means. We can have a lot of definitions about it. Everybody here can define what endurance is, but only a person, physical endurance per se, only a person who actually does it, who actually endure physically, knows what endurance really means. If you run a marathon or half marathon or a quarter marathon or like 5 kilometers straight, then you would know what endurance means. The same as with spiritual endurance. The only way to get that is to do it, is to endure. And it can be difficult, yes, but it sounds so easy. Wake up in the morning, read your Bible, pray. But it takes a lot. I mean, you can do it tomorrow, you can do it for 2 days, but a lifetime takes a lot. But we have God. Remember this. Every time you wake up, the moment you wake up, the battle automatically begins. And your first decision in the morning, every single day, to spend the first moment of the day with God or not, or have your coffee first, or read your email first, whatever, that quick decision in the morning can dictate the rest of your day. It will. So decide well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for David and the whole chapter of Psalm 5. Thank you, Father, that even though he was great during this time, he still trusted you and all his faith was in you. And we have a pattern now to follow. So, Father, we pray that help us to deny our flesh and prioritize you every single day by meeting you in prayer every single morning before everything else. And help us, Lord God, to be closer to you in this moment of the day. We pray, Lord, for our pastor, pray for our church, and we pray for the rest of the preachers that are going to be standing in front, behind the pulpit. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will convict our hearts and have us start doing, because the time to listen is over. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brent.